Now, we have been following a general theme in these day services. Our whole thought is God's ability in the believer. God's ability in the believer. Now, as we looked at this, the first message, the kingdom of God, what is it? It's important that you know what you're dealing with. Jesus said, if you seek that kingdom, everything else will be added. It's very important to people to seek and find the kingdom of God, but you can't seek successfully what you know when you don't know what you're looking for. So it's important. Then we have carried on. We saw that that kingdom is God's ability or God's spirit in us. The Holy Ghost in us is God's ability in us. We saw how that works. It's His ability to overcome. It's God's ability to have faith, to love, to live like God wants us to live. All of that is a product of the life of God within us. Paul said the Spirit of God was the Spirit of life. It's God's life. If it's God's life, it follows it's God's nature. So then I can live like God if I have God's nature in me. Otherwise, it's totally impossible to live that way. No human being can live like God. Now, I have been around for a little while, and when I was a boy in school, the high jumping record was about 6'3" or 6'4". That's as high as anybody ever jumped. That was a world record. But today it's above 7 feet, moving up toward 8 feet. I can believe that someday somebody will jump 8 feet, but ain't nobody ever going to jump 25 feet. Is that right? I can believe they'll jump 8 feet, but no human being is going to jump 25 feet. I said that to tell you that I've witnessed in my lifetime a lot of good folks that live good. I believe that I may meet some folks that live better. I'm just talking about natural folks. But nobody ever lived like Jesus. He jumped 25 feet. And you're not going to live like He lives unless you have His life, His ability in you to live that way. So that life in you is the ability of God not only to get devils out of other people, but keep devils out of yourself and to walk like God wants you to walk. But then it's not only the ability of God in us, it's the mind of God, or not only rather the nature of God in us, but it's the mind of God in us. And every one of us in this tent know that the ability of the human is in the mind. You're able to get here because you've got a mind. If you get home, you'll keep that mind. You know what to do. All action is a product of your thinking that tells your hands, your feet, what to do. That's all. The same is true in the spiritual world. If we have and use the mind of God, with that mind is the ability to God, of God. If He cast out devils, if we have His mind, we can cast out devils. We can do what God does if we can think like God thinks. Now, that ability we saw was in that mind and in the ability to be led by the Holy Ghost. The only power of the Holy Ghost that's available to you is in your ability to be led by Him. Just being filled with the Holy Ghost doesn't make you powerful. You have to learn what's in you and learn to be led by Him, or else that power will never demonstrate. When I first got saved, wife and I, we went everywhere they had a meeting. We went to conventions. We heard them talk in tongues. We watched them run around the building. But about the best they could do for the sick folks was a hospital bed, and the demon possessed was a straitjacket. And I said to God, where is the power? I mean, I know they got the Holy Ghost. They're talking in tongues. They're prophesying. All of the things that go with it seem to be here. But where is the power of that Spirit? And God let me know back there in the early days of my Christianity that the only power is in the ability to be led by Him. Now, the Spirit in us then has to be released. Is that right? It is of no avail whatsoever unless it is released. Now, in our message, we showed how to release, or how God's ability in that believer is released. Yesterday, we dealt with this. We showed how God's purpose and plan is in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 26. We have the man of God seeing the vision of the counsels of God in action. That's what you see the book of Acts, with all the wheels in the middle of wheels, the running feet, all in a straight line, flashing lights, and a man in a throne. Now, Jesus in John 16 and 7 said to his disciples, he's been with them, demonstrated his power, his miraculous presence, and then says to those people, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go, I'll pray the Father, and he'll send you another Comforter. He ascended back to heaven. They gathered in the upper room. They waited for the promise that he made to them. And when he sat down at the right hand of the Father, he prayed. And the evidence that he made it through was by the fact that the wind blew through that upper room. They knew he had made it back and had sat down at the right hand of the Father. The Holy Ghost poured out on that church when he sat down. So God's plan is that from that throne, from the man in the throne, that's Jesus, poured out the Holy Ghost on the church, not on the world, but on the church. It focused on that upper room in Jerusalem. Is that right? Nobody else there. They just heard it and went over there where it was. It wasn't in all over Jerusalem. It focused where the body of Christ was, the church. Two things happened. Number one, he set upon them by a sovereign act of the Holy Ghost, if this is not too harsh, imposed the purpose of God upon that vessel. Then he went in them. The Bible said they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Is that what your Bible says? They were filled with the Holy Ghost. So this is God's ability poured out from heaven on that church. And from that church to the world. As they moved out of that upper room, you see the same thing that Jesus did. They went about healing the sick, raising the dead. The corn of wheat had fell into the ground and died. They waited. God's ability came in them. The Bible said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Now, when that ability of God, the Holy Spirit, poured out from the throne, came into that 120 believers, they went out of there doing the same thing he did. Amen. They performed in the exact same manner that he did. Now, the problem then, as we demonstrated, wasn't that pouring out from heaven. There's no problem with the throne. It's being poured out. But the bottleneck is in the church. The coming on through, it's a no outlet thing. We use it on ourselves. We have a good time. We shout, we jump, we talk in tongues. But very little trickle of that river that Ezekiel saw is flowing out from under the door of the church. It's touching nothing in the community. He said, Jesus said, that out of our belly was to flow this river of living water. And that living water, Ezekiel said, would make alive and heal everything that it touches. But the problem is it don't touch many people because it's such a little trickle that's getting out. It's bottlenecked, stopped up. You know, you have impurities in your blood, cholesterol. What does it do? It stops up the arteries so very little blood can get through. Well, when you've got the impurities of jealousy and malice and envy and strife and unforgiven spirits, I'm going to have my way kind of a situation, then the arteries is stopped up and the Holy Ghost being poured out from heaven finds a no outlet situation in the church. It must be released. And we pointed up that to release it, God has given us the fast. Is not this the fast that I've chosen? To break the hold of that carnal nature on that spiritual man so that the river not only flows in, but flows out. And the inflow is determined entirely by the outflow. That's what the Bible means. If you give, it'll be given to you. If God gives you something and you won't give it out, that's the end of that line. He's not just talking about money. He said, if you want mercy, you got to give mercy. That mercy comes from God. He said, if you want forgiveness, when you stand asking for that forgiveness, then you forgive. When you stand praying, you forgive everybody that's done you any wrong, and your Heavenly Father will give you forgiveness. Is that what he says? So the outflow is gauged by the inflow, or the inflow rather, is gauged by the outflow. If you won't give it, you're not going to get it. But if we'll be open-ended, there's no limit to the Holy Spirit that will flow through that church. And this is the whole purpose of God, ladies and gentlemen, is that it is in us as a living river flowing out, touching the world about us. But the world cannot be touched by the Holy Ghost except it flows through that vessel. On the day of Pentecost, 120 people were constituted the church by a sovereign act of the Holy Spirit. And from that day until now, if you deal with God, you're going to deal with God through that church, whether you like it or not. I'm not talking about a religious organization. I'm talking about the body of Christ. If you deal with God, you're going to deal with Him through that church, because He lives in that church. We are the house of God. He doesn't live in buildings made with hands. He lives in you and I. We're the vehicle of expression. And if God finds a no outlet or a dead end in us, then the world suffers, and that's exactly what's happening today. There's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but very little of it is flowing out to touch our communities. This nation has gone to hell in the last 10 years at a faster rate than any time in its history. 1 in 10 has become a homosexual in the last 10, with the greatest religious boom we've ever had. Is that right? I mean, there's never been a time you have more religion in this country than you've got now. Even the bumper stickers are carrying it. Everywhere you look, your mail today, when you pick it up, there'll be something religious in that when you pick up your mail. Every radio, television, everywhere. And yet, the nation suffers in spiritual darkness. It has to be released. Now, you must get the message. Yes, I can't re-preach that. If you're going to know how to release it. But today, I want to tell you the results of that release. The results of that release. That Holy Spirit poured out into that vehicle called the church. There's such a pressure there, that if the impurities and the channel was opened up and that river could burst out as it wants to, then things would automatically begin to happen. What we try to force happen through our slick advertisement and promotional gimmicks would take place as sure as there's a God in heaven on a scale never dreamed of, in an automatic manner, if that river could burst out of us. You see, He said, you don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. You open it up. What He's done is give us His life, which is light, and we've kept it veiled by the flesh. They can't see God because they're always looking at you and me. Now, in Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6 and 7, we read it yesterday. Here was God's method of release. Amen. Verses 6 and 7 of that great chapter. He told us, He said, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke, that you break every yoke. Yoke through the fast, you keep your side of that covenant. You do what God told you to do. You crucify that flesh. You bring that old man under subjection by fasting, by denial. Now, mortification is suicide, suicide, gradual and limitation. Some sins you don't gradually do away with. He said, let him that stole steal no more. You don't get a thief in the church and tell him you can only steal once a month for a while. That's cut off, isn't that right? Adultery is cut off. Drunkenness is cut off. Amen. There's certain sins cut off. Others, there's a limitation. To overcome your temper has to be a growth of the spiritual man. To overcome that jealousy, there has to be a growth of the spiritual man. Some things only limitation. It isn't wrong to eat. It's wrong to eat too much. Certain things, just a limitation. But you and I have to impose that on the flesh. Can't go get somebody to lay hands on you and cast self out. You have to do that through fasting, through denial of those things. And then the 8th verse of the 58th chapter of the book of Isaiah begins with this word, then. T-H-E-N. That means after. After what? After verse 6 and 7. After you and I apply that to our life, bring that old man under subjection so that they don't see us but Christ, then that river will break forth. Here's what it says. Then shall your light break forth as the morning. Then shall your light break forth as the morning. This is the result of the release of God's ability that's in every one of us here this morning that's been filled with the Holy Ghost. How many of you have been filled with the Holy Ghost? Wave your hand at me. Amen. Well, this is what I'm talking about. This is the result. That first statement says, then shall your light break forth as the morning. Now, this is the bursting forth of it. When you and I bring that old man into subjection, then that light breaks forth. What is that light? John chapter 1 verse 4 says, in him was life, L-I-F-E. And that life was the light of men. Now, we just spent the whole week telling you that the Spirit is a spirit of life. So what he's saying is, when you get self out of the way, then the Spirit of God will begin to flow out of your life. Your light will break forth as the morning. You can be full of the Holy Ghost and be as useless as a knot on a log. Amen. It's not necessary that you're doing anybody any good just because there's something on the inside of you. Unless that outward shell is broken, pierced, and that inward life can flow out, you never get the fragrance of the alabaster until the alabaster box is broken. You never get the perfume smell until you break the box. And you never know the Holy Ghost until you break this hull, this awful thing the Bible calls the flesh. And when you do, then that light comes forth. They don't see you now. They see Jesus. It's not you, as Paul said, but for me to live is Christ. Not I, but Christ. Christ liveth within me. That's a statement of those that have learned what I'm telling you this morning. As we learn to walk in the Holy Ghost, then we're moving toward perfection. Being filled with the Holy Ghost, let us go on to perfection. That is, the soul learn to walk in the Holy Ghost, that when they see us, they don't see us, they see the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I see Him, men are drawn to Him. They're repelled by you and me. I'm sick of religious folks. I want to see Jesus. Amen. I really believe the only man of the only God's man of faith and power is Jesus. That's the only one. When they see Jesus through you and I, then they see the man of faith and the man of power, Jesus Christ, live through us. Then shall your light break forth as the morning. And listen to this. Your help shall spring forth speedily. Thank God. I'm talking about the results of that pent-up river breaking out. You come into a meeting like this. You know the reason some folks have to run? Amen. There's no outlet to them. They're going to burst if they don't do something. There's no outlet. It can't flow through us. So the Holy Ghost in that's going to burst that old body. They got to jump up and run, jump up and dance. That's wonderful. But that river's supposed to do more than make you jump chairs, run around the tent. It's supposed to flow out of you and heal people everywhere in the apartment you live in, the grocery store you visit, the airplane you ride. That river is to flow out of you alive, make it alive whatever it touches. Woo-wee. I feel good about this morning. Heals everything it touches. Can't touch much when just a little Ezekiel saw it, just a little ankle deep. Now yesterday I showed you for four chapters he dealt with the healing of that house. That man took him through that house measuring everything. He talked about the abomination in that house, the church. Amen. There's only ankle-deep water, just a little trickle coming out. But when the man of God got everything measured and straightened out, got knee-deep, thigh-deep, swim in, a river you couldn't cross, get that church right, get your own heart right, get that envy out of you, get that jealousy out of you, get that malice out of you, get that unforgiving spirit out of you, and you'll feel the volume of that river. Oh, hallelujah, as it flows out. Touching, healing, making alive, glory to God, everything that it touches. You know, folks think they got the Holy Ghost because somebody has taught them how to say a few words. Other folks have been talking tongues so long, they memorize some of it, and they can spiel out a little words, and they think they've got it. But my question to you is this morning, how long has it been, sir, since you felt that river bubbling and gurgling and trying to force its way out of there? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen, there is a reality here. The Holy Ghost is as tangible as that light. That electricity in that light. It is as tangible as electricity in that light. It is a substance. It is the grace of God. And the grace of God is a substance, no matter how you look at it. It is real. It is tangible. Amen. There's enough of it in the bones of the prophet that a dead man thrown on him after he's dead is brought to life again. Oh, hallelujah. It's in you. Let it flow out of us. The results of it. Your light will break forth. There goes that Holy Ghost. Amen. He said, your light shall break forth. And when he goes, what he touches, he heals. Your health will spring forth speedily. Glory to God. Most of the sickness in this country is selfishness. Your world's too little. You know that? Your world's too little. But I can tell you right now, they're not going to stop and let you off. Amen. It's the way it is. They're not going to stop and let you off. It's going to go right on. You just got to learn. Your impatience is born out of your flesh. Your frustration, your screaming at them kids and husband, wife, is not because you're frustrated. It's because you're walking in the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit is peace and joy and love and meekness and temperance. It isn't hatred and hollering and screaming and nervousness and all this nonsense. We're just walking on the wrong side of us. And when that river flows, thank God I begin to walk in him, then it's love, it's joy, it's peace, it's meekness, it's temperance, it's faith. It isn't nervousness and frustrations, but thank God I'm content with life because God is living through me. Your health shall spring forth speedily. But listen to this. Listen to this. Your light shall break forth as the morning. Your health spring forth speedily. Then he said, your righteousness will go before you. That's in front of you. You know what that is? Paul writing in 1 Corinthians 1:31 says, God has made him, that's Christ, to be unto you righteousness. Thank God, if you get rid of yourself, walk in the Holy Ghost, where you go, Jesus will be out front of you, and the glory of God's going to be behind you. That's what it says there. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Underneath, David said, is the everlasting arms. You're totally surrounded by heaven and the life of God. You can't lose if you walk in the Spirit. My. I'm talking about the results, automatic results of releasing this Spirit that's in you. I'm releasing this Spirit. Amen. I'm letting it flow on through me. Not a dead-end street, but it flowing through. It'll wash the arthritis out of them bones. Thank God. Wash the cancer out. It'll heal your mind. It'll heal everything about you. Jesus will be in front of you and the glory of God behind you. And the Bible said in verse 9, still talking about that then, after you've got that old man out of the way and that river of life and light is a flowing, he says in that 9th verse, this word, when you cry, I will answer. When you call, I will say, here I am. My God. Can you be any richer than that? Can you be any richer than that? That when you kneel to pray, you know God is going to hear you. And God is going to answer. He said, when you cry. Now, he's not talking about that Ishmael, amen, that every time he gets in trouble, goes to hollering. He's talking about that new creation that fellowships and walk with him. How do you know that? Very simple. This is what David meant when he said, deep calleth the deep. What he's saying is, when that nature of God in you cries out to God, whose nature it is, he'll hear it every time. Never deny himself. You know, my wife and I had been married 2 years and our son was born. Now, we both grew up pretty large families. We didn't raise them. We didn't know what to do with the kid, just had one. Amen. I learned very quickly, though, that when that little boy got here, he knew his mother had to be introduced to me. That was a very big blow to my ego. I just knew he was going to get here talking about daddy, but he didn't even know me. Amen. When we took him home, I'd try to walk him and talk with him. He'd holler and scream. But when I'd give him to his mother, he's at home. He knew her. He didn't know me. And when he'd get with her, everything was well. He'd come into this world knowing her, been with her 9 months before he ever got here. I remember I had a little bed for him, had it over against the wall on her side. I'd wake up in the morning, she's over at that baby bed, kicking my bed, hollering and screaming. I wake up, what's wrong? Is the baby dead? No. You know what happened? He had grunted. She had knocked the house down to get me awake, but the slightest grunt on the part of that baby brought that mother up there by its side. Isn't that right? Oh, you know why? That baby come from her. That baby was her. And the movement of that baby was a movement of her. Well, let me tell you something. That new creature in me come from the loins of God millions of years ago. And the slightest grunt out of that new creation, God says, I'm here, child. What do you want? Oh, my God, I feel like a runner this morning. Woo! Hear me. He's akin to God. He came from God. He came from God. He got here knowing God. God knew him when he got here. He don't listen to that Ishmael, that old man. But when that which is akin to God rose up and began to call on God, God said to him, I'm right here. That little old boy, he just changed his breathing. Mama's right here, honey. I'm over dead. Will you get up? God, is he dying, honey? No, he just breathed different. Oh, the sensitivity of God to himself. Not to you, but to himself. That which is in me that's of God, he's watching over that. You believe that? I said he's watching over that. You're not going to force that old creation on God. We've tried to through this far out one-sided. Let me tell you, I know that confession is a part of it, but that ain't all of it. You hear me? I said, that ain't all of it. You can teach that old nature how to say things, but you're not going to force him on God just because he can quote the Bible. The devil can quote that Bible, but you're not going to force that old creation. It is when that new man uses that word that God hears him. You can't force God to accept what he's already rejected. When Adam failed sin, he became an altogether different type of a creature. When God made him, he was spirit, soul, and body. When he sinned, his spirit died. God no longer can fellowship with him. He's a soulish being, not a spiritual. God is a spirit. So God drove him from his presence, put a cherubim and a sword at that gate, and said, your kind can never come into my presence. He wrote vanity over the flesh and said, you can never glory in my sight. God will talk to nobody but that which is born of the Spirit of God. That's the results of the release of God's ability that's in that church. It isn't in church buildings, no matter how beautiful, how much money is in it. He isn't in pews. I know God is everywhere, but that's who knows where everywhere is. Amen. I don't know where everywhere is, but he said where two or three of us together, he's there. And if we'll release that ability that's in those two or three, we can set men and women free. We can heal our community. We can see God because it's the presence of God that does the work. That Red Sea didn't flee from the rod of Moses, but David said it fled from the presence of God in Judah. That darkness on the streets of Omaha will flee from the presence of God in a church if that river is released. You come together every Sunday morning full of the Holy Ghost and jump around and holler and have a good time. It doesn't affect Omaha at all. You ought to have a good time. The joy of the Lord is your strength. But by the same token, that ought to be a bursting loose of the volume of that ability to flow out and touch this community and make it whole. Hallelujah. There is no way you'll ever be healed except that church release God's ability that is in her. And when that ability is released, there'll be folks that get an answer to their prayer. Oh, let me get back here. Amen. Here we got in verse. I've used this so much, I've worn out. Amen. In verse 10, I believe I want to read in verse 10 of this chapter. Listen. And if you draw out thy soul to the hungry, satisfy the afflicted, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as a noonday. If you give to all he's talking about is you overcome that selfishness. You know the mark of the beast is selfishness. I'm not talking about a brand. I'm talking about a mark. The law of the jungle is the law of self-preservation. Whatever fits me, that's humanism, you see. That's the beast. Amen. Whatever's for me, that devilish hellish beast, give birth to a litter of little ones, and if it's hungry, it'll eat its own. I had a pig do that one time. Eat its own. Paul talked about the church without the Holy Ghost is living off of self, and they bite and devour one another. Is that right? They bite and devour one another. But he said, if you will feed the hungry, if you will die to yourself, then your light, that is the Holy Ghost, will rise, thank God, out of obscurity, and your darkest moment will be just like the noonday, because the Holy Ghost will be around you. The worst time you ever face will be like the sun's at high noon shining on top of you. God is telling you that wherever you are, if you walk in the Holy Ghost, you will have victory. The results of walking in the Spirit, of releasing the results of the release of this ability. Notice in verse 11, the Lord shall guide thee continually. Oh, have mercy. Let me tell you something. I never ask anything different than that. I never ask anything. If God just tell me where to go, what to do, if He'll guide me continually, I won't need nothing else. Now, he's talking about that of his own nature. He's talking about the God in you that he'll guide. How do you know that? David said the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And Jesus said there just isn't anybody good but God. Oh, hallelujah. The steps of a good man. You're not good. I'm not good. You're not good. It's only God that's in you is good. Jesus said there's none good but God. And he said the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. That just means it's that new creation that was born of God that he'll order. And God will guide him continually. It's the most wonderful thing to be led by the Holy Ghost. That's the only place there's any power. You can do a lot of things, just figure it out, work it out. You know, I came here, Brother Shambach, and I knew we weren't going down to a morgue in downtown Omaha or somewhere and try to bring a corpse back here. Amen. No. No, we're not going down there to try to demonstrate nothing. But I promise you, if the Holy Ghost would have led us down to that morgue, we'd have brought a dead man back here made alive. Amen. We had brought a dead man back here made alive, because the power is in the ability to be led, and the Bible says that I will guide that spiritual man continually. Not once a week, not every month or so, but every breath he takes, every footprint he makes, I'll tell him where to put that footprint. 1954, my wife and I was in a revival meeting, a little town called Eagle Lake. Was up at 4:30 in the morning praying, and while I was down there praying, God spoke to me the word Saigon. Don't even know what it is, much less where it is. I said it to her. She felt a witness. She said, that's somewhere. God must want us to go there. We looked it up, and of course, it's the capital of South Vietnam. Didn't know it, but 1954 was the time the French were coming out, being driven out, and we're getting involved in that war. And God was talking to us about going there. We got involved in that war up in the late 50s and early 60s. And the more we got involved, the headlines filled with that word, Saigon, South Vietnam. We were haunted. We didn't have no money. We just begun preaching. We didn't know how to get there, what to do, just knew we ought to be there. But in 1968, that old Pan American Clipper landed at the Tonsonut Airport. That girlfriend of mine, my wife of the last 38 years, landed in that world, and we were as much as home as we was in Beaumont, Texas. I mean, they're blowing the thing up. The tent's on. Everything else is on. I've been in a war, but she never had. But we took to those streets. The only people we knew to talk to the first time, the first day, was the American servicemen. She's on one corner. I'm on another. We're passing out tracks talking to them, but we knew we were there for the Vietnamese people. Amen. We got through, went to the hotel, the place where we're staying, walked into the lobby, and a man sitting over there, a Vietnamese soldier, turned out to be a colonel who was in charge of the war college, sitting there reading the paper. When he looked up and saw me, he turned pale, ran over, grabbed my hand, and said, I've been looking for you since 1961. I said, you've been looking for me? Yes. You're a preacher? Yes, I'm a preacher. I don't know you. I know you, though. I said, how do you know me? He said, I'm in charge of the war college. And I was sent to France when the French were here to learn the French tactics of war. But when the Americans took up the load, they sent me to America. And while studying there, I was born again in an Oral Roberts crusade in the state of Florida. And when I was born again, I knew that my people as a nation were not saved. They only had religion. Just religion. They really weren't born again. I was consumed with a burden to bring the message of revival to Vietnam. I came back to home. I asked them to let me out of the army, but they said, your job is too important to the war effort. You can't get out. So I began fasting, praying. And he said, in 1961, I'd been fasting for 10 days. And I was way in the night, waiting before God. And he said, I saw a vision. And in the vision, I saw a man with a Bible. And he was coming into Vietnam. And God said to me, this man will bring revival to Vietnam. I knew you when I saw you. My wife and I were there a great part of the time from 1968 to 1975. We saw Pentecost come for the first time to that world. We saw the most wonderful things take place. They made me an honorary chaplain of the Arvin Army. I was made a member of their Associated Press. I could ride their helicopters. I flew from one end of that country to the other. I preached Christ. I saw them saved. Had crowds of 4,500 close enough to the front line. You could hear the guns are shooting. I saw Pentecost fall on them just like it fell at Cornelius' house. Nobody jiggling any jaws. Nobody telling anybody what to say. But they began to speak as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. Hallelujah! I said, he will guide me continually. I got into the churches. The first time I went into a church was on the second trip out there. They invited us into the church. That Vietnamese church was filled. It was hot, sauna bath, no air conditioning, just a little old fan, but it packed out. They had heard that an American was going to be there preaching, and they'd come in. I was in the office off the platform with the pastor. He had escaped from North Vietnam 14 years earlier. They had beaten him so in the head that for 14 years he'd lived with a headache. Amen. It took aspirin till it almost destroyed him. And now just live with a headache. In that office, as we were talking, he told me of what was wrong. The Holy Spirit nudged me, said, lay your hands on him, I'll heal him. I put my hands on that pastor's head, and God delivered him a 14-year headache. When we walked out onto that platform, I followed him out of his office, sitting on the left, house full, but there's an old gentleman, I learned later, was 85 years old. And when I walked on that platform, he was talking to two men, he looked up and saw me and began to sob. He just sobbed and wept. I preached, of course, an hour and 40 minutes because I'm preaching to an interpreter. Amen. You know, you've got twice as long. Then I prayed for everybody in the house. And the whole time, he sobbed sometime so loud that it disturbed the service. He just sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. The custom there, when you get through the service, you always stand at the door with the pastor and shake hands with everybody. And so my interpreter took me back to the door, and we're shaking hands, greeting the folks. He's interpreting for me. And in that line is that old man, weeping as he come, weeping as he come. Finally, he got in front of me, and through his sobs and through my interpreter, I heard this story. He said, 5 years ago, in fasting and prayer, like Simeon and Hannah, I waited before God, pleading with him for revival to come to this poor, sick, war-torn land. And he said, 5 years ago, after fasting for many, many days, the Holy Spirit said to me, you will not die until you see the man that'll bring revival to this nation. Oh, hallelujah. He will not die. And said, when you walked out on that platform, that same voice that talked to me 5 years ago said, look close, son, for that's the man that'll bring revival to Vietnam. Glory to God forever. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord shall guide thee continually when that ability of God is released. When I got back to Vietnam a few months later, the old man had gone to heaven. But if I'd have been 40 years in coming, he would not have died until he saw me. Listen, folks, God will tell you where to put every footprint if you walk in the Spirit of God. If you'll crucify that old man, walk in the Spirit. God will tell you where to put every footprint. God is interested in where we go. I've been working in Zaire. You can go anywhere on this earth, and you'll be in the will of God, because He said go in all the world. But there are such a things as Him sending you. I've been working in Zaire, Africa, for 4 years. I went there in August of 1980, and the man under Mr. Mobutu, the president, Colonel Balozi, he is in charge of all the security, all the immigration. The only law over there is the army. He's ahead of the whole thing. Under that president, he just, for all purposes, runs that country. Don't have the final word. He came to me and said, I want to know about this God. I mean, the world opened up, ladies and gentlemen, like I've never believed. I knew God had led me there. But when that door opened up, I go there and come. I've got an army escort. Here's why. The second lady of that country was in April in our convention. She flew all the way from Zaire to be in that convention, stayed in my home, Mrs. Belosi. Amen. One of the most powerful women in that country came on orders of her husband. Amen. Go and visit Pastor Clinton in this convention. Amen. I've been working out there in Zaire. I quit having big crusades. Now God has led me just to bring the pastors. I was there in March, 500 pastors. 500 congregations for 6 days, like here, only from 8 o'clock till 5 o'clock, with 20 minutes off in the middle of the morning, hour off for dinner, 20 minutes in the afternoon, driving. The Word of God, same thing I'm preaching here. I saw it break and fall. Listen, I touched 500 churches in 1 week. 500 churches in 1 week. I saw pastors revived and stirred and moved to go back across that nation to proclaim Christ. Listen, He led me there. He ordered my steps. He sent me to Zaire. Oh, hallelujah. I tell you, folks, God will tell us what to do. That's the results of the releasing of this ability. It's in us. It's in us. You raised your hand. You said, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. That is God's ability. That is God's life. That is the life. That is the river that came down from heaven on the day of Pentecost that will heal whatever it touches. But it's no good in you unless you're broken and that river can flow. It's not going to touch anybody. But when that release comes and that light breaks forth as a morning, these things begin to occur. It isn't what I struggle to do. The river don't have any trouble running. Amen. If I release that river will make its own way. Thank God. I said it'll make its own way. It'll push the devil out. It'll bring victory. It'll heal everything. It'll heal everything. You take a church with a real move of the Holy Ghost, it's healthy, because the Holy Ghost makes healthy conditions. Let the Spirit reach out, every kind of spiritual disease will come. Listen to this. The Lord will guide thee continue. I can't get this whole thing in. You read that chapter, it's just full of this. That river flowing. But He says, even in drought, your soul be satisfied. My God, ain't that something? We're still operating behind that then. That ain't you now, it's God. Is that right? Even in a drought. You know what a drought is, don't you? That's when it don't rain. Troubles come. When it don't rain, the crop dies. Folks get upset. Israel have drought so bad that they got to eat the kids. Said, you eat my boy today, well, he's yours tomorrow. Yes, sir. Got to wear a mule's head, sold for an exorbitant price, and a pint of dove's dung for a great big price. You know what dove's dung is? That's all that's left when the dove's gone. Amen. That's all you got, a bunch of gimmicks of religion. When the Holy Ghost is gone, the drought is gone. Amen. The drought has come. The Holy Ghost gone. All you got is somebody learned how to do it last year, and now they're trying to operate it after the dove is done flew away. They begin to eat one another's kids. Well, you, that's spiritually a drought. That's when the Holy Ghost ain't there. And Paul said to begin to bite and devour one another. Is that right? You let the Holy Ghost leak out. You let that thing begin to run by the flesh. And you in trouble. I grew up when I was a boy. Amen. The REA hadn't got to the farm where I was. And we had old lamps. Had an old lamp. Now that lamp did very well as long as you kept oil in there. But you let the oil burn up and it began to burn that wick. All it'd do is smoke that chimney. Isn't that right? Amen. Begin to smoke that chimney. You know what I'm talking about. Well, you let the oil of the Holy Ghost get out of you. All you burn is that old flesh, that blubber. It'll smoke the eyes, mess up everything. Even though you're doing it, even though you're doing it, it's nothing but a carnal nature that learned how to do something. There's no life to it. It's an external thing. You've got all of the trappings of it, but the inner life is not corresponding to what's going on in the outside, and it's a drought. Now, what God is saying, even in those times, you can keep a revival. Not a thing of environment. Oh, the preacher may backslide, but I can keep a walking. Thank God the deacon may be so backslid that he sounds like a billy goat when he says, ah, man, but I can keep a revival. Thank God I said I can keep a revival. It isn't a thing of environment. It is out of me. It's flowing that river. It isn't from somebody else. Let me tell you something, folks. Life doesn't come out of the church, but the church comes out of life. Hallelujah. Life doesn't come out of doctrine, but the doctrine comes out of life. And the life of God is in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! 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 And the result of the release of this ability of God is that even in the drought, my soul satisfied. Hallelujah! We had a meeting one Sunday night way back about 1960. The Assembly of God was suffering. We'd come up through the 58s on to a million. Put all the emphasis on education. I don't make no appeal for ignorance, but I'm telling you, you can't get smart enough to get this either. Amen. God use a donkey. Amen, if you let him. Listen, let me tell you. This thing did not come from the intellect. It comes from the Holy Ghost. Back there in 1962, there's a drought on. There were no drought where I was at. We started that church. One night, we got to singing at 8 o'clock, I'll Fly Away. We never quit singing that chorus till 2 o'clock in the morning, and 75 people had the Holy Ghost. Woo-wee. Everybody had laryngitis. But on this particular Sunday night, in the song service, 9 people got filled with the Holy Ghost. I received the offer and preached. Some folks come, got saved. They got the baptism. We got out about 1 o'clock. The next morning, Monday morning, was a fellowship meeting, whatever that's supposed to mean. I went to that fellowship meeting. Oh, listen, I'm full. I'm too full, too much religion hardly to sit down. And I sat down in there, and the good presbyter got up. Wanted to know if anybody wanted to testify. And the brother got up, just creaked when he got up. Oh, he said, I want to tell you, brethren, it's a bad day. We're in the time of the falling away. He said, I told my people, you heard that 1,000 times. I told my people. I mean, he said, I preach, they don't want to hear. They don't want to hear. I'm going to have to borrow money to pay the bills. Amen. It's a day. It's a bad day. And he sat down. And another brother got up and said, I want to say amen to what he said. He went through that sorry roll. By the time he got through, I'm up. Amen. I'm on my feet. And I don't notice it, but I'm moving out in that aisle. I'm a jumping and a shouting. I said, brethren, it don't have to be that way. I said, it don't have to be that way. I don't have to borrow no money this morning. I got the biggest offering last night I ever got. Hallelujah. 9 people got the baptism while I was in the song service. I preached a while. Others got saved and filled. I said, there's a revival if you want it. But I noticed I'm the only one in there making any racket, brother. It's getting quieter all the time. I just kind of cooled it off and eased back in and sat down. And when I got seated, a great big fella got up. And he said, I have been in Pentecost for 40 years. And it is my observation, they that demonstrate the most live the least. I never even got up. I said, he's the one borrowing the money, not me. Woo! He's the one that dead, not me. God said, if you release this ability, even in drought, everything else is dead. I'm not dead, thank God. Oh, you may fall away. I'm not falling away. Thank God I'm in revival. I've been in revival ever since I've been saved. Oh, no. Time of falling away. Of course, always somebody falling away. But he said, even in drought, when this new creation, when this light, when this river, when this ability of God that's in that church is released, thank God, even in drought, your soul is satisfied. Everybody else may die. I live on. Thank God. Superintendent may quit, but I'll keep a shout. Oh, yes. Wife may decide not to go on, but you can go on. Husband may give up on it, but if you'll keep yourself right, keep that old man down, let that ability be released, you'll have revival. Oh, my God, I feel good this morning. Yeah, Lord. Evangelist friend of mine went up north. He could have went south. They just dead down there as they were anywhere else. Said he got in the church deadest he was ever in. He's telling me about it. Said, I've never seen anything like it in my life. He said, I got in there and said, I thought the song leader was going to choke before he got the first line out. Always carried his guitar, sitting on the platform, had that guitar leaning up against the chair. And the good pastor said to him, why don't you play it? He said, just can't strum it that slow. Can't play it that slow. Too dead. He said, Brother Clinton, that's the nicest place I was ever in. Had velvet covering on the altar, every pew. He said, I did everything I knew to do to get something out of it. I'd jump up these old big levens on that altar, pounce around on that velvet. He said, I thought if I'd get them to cuss, I could do something. Said, I jump on that front pew, wasn't nobody, one little woman on it. He said, I run around that building, that's the only bunch of folks I ever saw in my life, could turn their head all the way around without moving their shoulders. He said, it is death personified. But he said, there's one little woman sitting on the front seat on the left. Said, I found out later she is up in her 80s, wouldn't weigh 100 pounds, soaking wet. But said, when I'd get to coming down and preaching, the rest of them sat there staring at me like a tree full of owls, but she'd come alive. Said, I'd press her button every now and then. That little old thing had come up. Woo! Woo! Everybody else, duck your head. Said, duck your head. Didn't want nobody to see him. Said, she'd sit down. Said, I'd press on. And said, directly, she'd come alive again. She'd do a little dance around there, shout, shout, shout. And said, that went on every night during that meeting. One night, said, I was over at the pastor's house having a cup of coffee with him. And I said to him, Pastor, we got to pray for that little woman on the front seat. He said, which one's that? He said, the one that's always jumping up and a shouting. He said, well, a brother evangelist, I didn't know anything's wrong with her. He said, I don't know that anything's wrong with her either. He said, well, what do you want to pray about? He said, I just want us to pray because that's all you got. And if she dies before we pour it in something else, we have lost this. We have lost this. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. But you know what blessed me about that story? The preacher's dead. The choir's dead. The ushers are dead. The deacons are dead. The church is dead. But she's alive. In the midst of all of that, she's alive. The rivers are flowing. Thank God the Holy Ghost is that ability of God. There's a flowing out of her. And in all that drought and deadness, thank God she's alive. Hallelujah. Listen, as we come down to the wire here this morning, the releasing of that is in that verses 6 and 7. Is not this the fast that I've chosen? When you deal through fasting with that in you, that's not God. The church is filled with envy, jealousy, strife, covetous people. All kinds of people come in the church, sit on pews they wouldn't even help pay for. That's the truth, brother. Come in, sing out of songbooks they wouldn't buy. Enjoy air condition. There's left up them that'd be cut off, couldn't pay the bill. And then wonder why that river isn't a flowing. I tell you, brother, we got to deal with the church itself. Ain't no use in talking to that sinner out there till we get the thing right among ourselves. Get that cholesterol, that spiritual cholesterol, and the arteries so that the life can flow, a heart will function, and the church will heal. Amen. can't operate with all kinds of sin and trash, unbelief, jealousy, unforgiven spirits. There's no way that that church can function. And if that church don't function, then that river don't flow. And if that river don't flow, you've got nothing but dead religion. Nothing but dead religion. That's the reason, listen, God pours out His Spirit everywhere. It becomes springtime. The harvest of the earth is come. When that happens, when the Holy Ghost touches a man, his heart opens up and he's ready to receive things spiritually. Is that right? When that Spirit touches him, his heart opens and he can receive spiritually. Now, when it's dead, amen, no real life, it's like a hothouse. I've saw people grow tomatoes when it's 10 below zero. Build them a hothouse, create the conditions of springtime. Well, under this old tent, we set this thing up. It don't make any difference how dead it is out there, brother. I'm telling you, there is springtime under this tent. You bring the sinners under here, their heart opens up. Isn't that right? That Holy Ghost, that river flows here. That man of God keeps it open. That river flows. You saw it. There's so many people down here to get saved last night. We couldn't put them in that tent. You know why? God's ability was flowing. We create conditions of springtime right here under this tent. Don't make no difference how dead. You try to talk that man out there, he said, I don't hear nothing about death. I don't talk about no religion. But you get him in here, and that river touch him, and that spirit opens up, and you can talk to him. The harvest of the earth. But you've got to heal that church. You've got to unstop them arteries. It's ankle deep. God wants it a river you can swim in. Whatever he touches, it'll make alive. Come a little 2-inch rain, it'll run off, touch hardly anything. Is that right? Run down the curb, once in a while, touch somebody, they get healed, get saved. But if you and I will unstop, let that flood come, let a 16-inch rain come between now and night. I'm talking about spiritual. It'll touch everything in Omaha. And tell me this, whatever it touches, it will heal. That is the resource of the releasing of God's ability in the believer. Stand with me and let's worship God. Oh, lift your hands. Lift your hands. Come on, worship God. Let it loose. Let it loose. Let it loose. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, let's worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord. Oh, Rabasako Santo Labaha. My God, I feel that revival here this morning. Oh, I feel that revival here this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 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 He la ba ko sha ta la ba 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 ha ya. Come on, let's worship God. Let's worship God. Let's worship God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, river of God, flow down on me. Oh, river of God, flow out through me. Oh, river of God, so rich and free. Oh, river of God, I long for thee. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I tell you, folks.